Amen. Who's going to get a vision for playing the organ? Takes a lot of work, doesn't it, Mike? Okay, but what a blessing. Man, wouldn't that be great to have that every week like that? Man, let's get moving, guys. That's what we need. Some guys are going to get busy serving God with their life and with music. And pray for that to take place. That would be wonderful. All right, turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. You know, music is one of those things, doesn't play an instrument like that, doesn't. That takes years and takes a vision of your life, what you can do with your life, and needs to start early. Well, you know, whatever early is. I don't know what that might. Might be 30, I don't know. But you get a vision for your life, what you can do with for God with your life. You know, I was thinking about Sunday, those people in Budapest have absolutely hardly a clue to the importance of what they're doing. They don't hardly have a clue of the significance of what is taking place there. I mean, that's the most important thing happening in Budapest. Period. Sorry, of a New Testament church. And just think how many years it hasn't had one. We need to, that's how we need to think, because that's how God thinks. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be with content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 and verse 17. I'll read it and then you tell me what it is. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What did I just read? The 10th. Commandment. You know, trying to define covetousness. Now, the Bible says you're not supposed to desire or covet your neighbor's wife or his house or his car or his job. You know, we could want a better lot in life and it would be sin. We could be discontent with what we have, and it could be sin. When you think of each one of these phrases here that God says don't covet, covetousness is a lot more than just money. Boy, I wish I had that car. You know? I wish I had that. Boy, I wish I had a house like that. And, you know, you hate to say this publicly, but I say, boy, I wish that person was my wife. But there's a number of ingredients or principles that are involved in covetousness, and our text kind of gives us some of them. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for reason he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, there's a contrast that is pointed out here. There is a contrast to covetousness, and the contrast is the ability to believe in God. To believe in God's government. To believe in God's good government. Well, why don't I have what they have? God's good government. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. And you know, the fact is, some people are worse off getting the things that they want. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that you can want. And you'd be worse off if you had them. And God is wise enough and good enough in His providence so you don't have them. Because if we had them, if we got what we wanted, we could very well lose our lives, lose our souls, lose our spiritual life, lose our heart. And so there's a sense here that this has a lot to do with believing in God's good government. And God has been good in putting us in the lot that we are in. And and we ought to be content with what lot of life God has given us. Now, on the other hand, this isn't talking about being lazy. On the other hand, this is not about not being diligent with our life. We ought to be diligent. I remember one time I was preaching on Titus 2, where it says that mothers are supposed to be keepers at home. And this lady, she said, okay, I get it. I can go home, and she quit her job and sat around and watched TV all day. No, that's not what it was saying. That's not what contentment is, being lazy, not being industrious. Not having energy, not having mix this up. Let's look at a couple other verses in the Bible. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Now here is a pretty strong verse. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and what? Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Here, I heard you had a good sermon on Sunday night about idolatry. I heard they're both great sermons, but talking about idolatry. What about idolatry? What's it saying? Covetousness is anything that we want that causes us to lose our affection for God. We want that thing so much, we will disobey commandments of God to get it. Now, we don't like to, I suppose most of the world would maybe say Americans are covetous, but, you know, that's a pretty powerful word. We don't like to say that. But it says covetousness is idolatry. Okay? So, what is it saying? It's saying that something that takes away our heart for the things of God. Here's this person pursuing, I don't know what, but now, you know what? They start skipping prayer meeting. They start pursuing whatever, and now their ministry that they had at the church is kind of getting to be a burden. You know what? It's kind of a burden. They used to have this great burden to be a blessing, but now the thing is a burden. Oh, man. What's happened? Their heart has been taken away. There's an idol in their heart. And maybe even they will start disobeying certain commands in the Bible. Maybe like forsaking the assembly, not forsaking the assembling themselves together. Or who knows what it is. But they're going to start breaking commandments because they love that thing more than God. They love that thing more than God. They're going to violate Bible principles, Bible truths, Bible Christian whatever, because of they want something. And you know, when people want something, they can just start plowing over the Bible, can't they? And you can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. Why? It says it's idolatry. Now, notice what Luke 12 says. And he said unto them, and one of the company said unto him, Master, verse 13, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. Well, that sounds pretty legitimate. And the Lord said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Then he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now, here again, here's this principle. They say, you know what? If I had that, I would be happy. If I had that, I would be happy. And you know how many a person has said, "I want that," and they have just pushed off any godly counsel because they want it. And the reason is they're believing a lie. They're thinking that there's happiness and satisfaction in that thing. There's only happiness and satisfaction in one thing, that's Jesus Christ. You know, that's where the joy of life comes. I was talking to Josh the other day, and we were just got on woodworking, and he made an interesting comment. He says, you know, woodworking isn't much fun unless you're doing it for the Lord. Quite a truth was revealed in that, wasn't it? And this is when I like doing this, but it's really not satisfying unless I'm doing it for the Lord. Now, I think the context tells us that the opposite of, well, let's identify. I thought maybe we could identify covetousness a little bit. Let's think of some things that people do that would be covetousness. And maybe you could make a better list than I did, but I just have a couple things. Buying something you can't afford. Buying something you can't afford. That's covetousness. You can't afford it, but you wanted it so bad, you're going to go buy it. Or the same thing. Spending your tithe on something. You don't give God your tithe. You spend it on something. Oh, that's pretty obvious, right? That's idolatry. Right? Forget God. I want this. Direct disobedience to God because I want this. That's covetousness. I tried to put a little definition of, see if I can find it. Covetousness is a desire to have more than God has legitimately provided. A desire to have more than what God has legitimately provided. God doesn't want you to have it, but you want it. And so, what are you going to do? Violate scripture, commandments, principles to get it. Now, I think that as we look at this passage of scripture, we find that as we think of that definition of covetousness, we see the principle of contentment, but we also see the principle of faith. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what does that verse say? That verse is saying, you seek to obey God in every way. And now, and put Him first. And now you can trust Him to take care of your needs. Covetousness says, I will take a shortcut to get what I want. Faith says, no, I'm always going to put God first. I'm not going to violate Bible principles. And as I put God first, now I can have confidence that God is going to provide for me. Now I can have confidence in God that He will take care of me. And with that confidence, they are testifying that they believe, like the psalmist said in Psalm 37, said, I have yet to see the righteous begging bread. What was he saying? God is good. God will take care of me. I don't need to desire something that God doesn't want for me or isn't in His plan. And I can trust God in my life. I can trust Him as my helper. And you know, Brother Joe, aren't you glad that one day you turned down that job, that big bucks job in South Carolina? Aren't you glad you turned down that job and had to struggle for years? Of course, if you took this job in South Carolina, you might be one of them that drowned on that accident, right? And you might not be able to see your children serve the Lord in the same way. You know, the devil tempts us to put in shortcuts because sometimes we think we know better than God. And that's when we get in trouble. We think we know better than God. We think that we can violate some scripture. We could violate the Bible and get ahead in life. No, the problem is that getting ahead isn't hard work and it isn't diligence. That kind of getting ahead is covetousness. And so in that sense, covetousness is the opposite of faith. You know, the devil said to Jesus, hey, take this bread, this stone here, make it a piece of bread right now. And you'll prove to everybody you're the Messiah. And but, you know, just you can do it. That's not a problem for you. And the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone. What was he saying? He said, you know, if I would do that, I would be going ahead of God. I'd be going ahead of God. I'm going to have to wait for God the Father to decide when He wants to give me bread. I'm not going to go ahead of God and get it for myself. And there was that principle, a principle of faith, the principle of waiting, the principle of believing in God's government and God's goodness and God's timing. and the willingness to trust Him for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for important truth in the Bible. And Lord, I pray that if anyone is here tonight and there's something they're pursuing, and that pursuing has caused them to violate Bible principles, or that pursuing has caused them to lose the intensity of their heart for God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that they would repent even tonight. I pray, Lord, for those who are desiring and thinking they want something that isn't God's will. I pray that they would realize that there's something in their heart that is causing them to want something that they'll throw out Bible principle for. And I pray that, Lord, that they would recognize the seriousness of this issue. And so, Lord, even now, might Your Holy Spirit do a work. Maybe there's even young people, Lord, who are thinking, oh, I wish I had that, or I wish I had that lot in life, or I wish I had this. And, Lord, they're not trusting You with their life. They aren't believing in Your goodness. They're being overcome by covetousness, which will take away their heart and destroy them. I pray that they will see what it really is and see it in the light of Your Word and turn and trust a good God who will take care of them if they will put Him first. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord has spoken.